everyone, and welcome to another episode of That's What Bea Said. We are back after a couple of weeks. We called it our bye week, but I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Clee, and I'm joined by, tonight, Miss Mollis at Bird's Eye View. Hi, Britt.
Hello, Bree.
It's the two of us tonight. Meredith is battling her booster shot, so we are without her.
Poor Mare. Get well soon.
Hope she's feeling well. Yes, 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 yes. Getting boosted. Getting the 4K. Or the, what do they, people call it, like the 3G network? Is that right? I don't know.
4K. She's getting the 4,000. The booster 4,000.
So I know you all were probably wondering where we've been the last couple of weeks, because we did not record after the first game against the Ravens during the loss. We got super busy just in our own lives and couldn't figure out a time that worked for all of us. But we're happy to be back and chatting a win, but also chatting a lot of stuff that there's been a lot of turns of events over the last 2 days. So I thought this was going to be a very happy episode. But here we are. So a tale of two sports teams in the same city. So we're going to be talking Browns, we're going to be talking Cavs. We're going to start off with the Browns and their current state of affairs. So, Brittany, let me just sum things up for you. If you're not following along, if you've been lost, if you've been under a rock for the last couple of days. On Sunday, we played against the Ravens, AFC North division competitor, a game that we had to win, and they won. The Browns won. So first, we won. They defeated the Ravens 24-22 on Sunday, much thanks to the defense, and almost everyone was back on their Browns bullshit after that win.
Yep.
Because we were one game away of the AFC North leader board. And the playoffs were back in picture. Mm-hmm. Also, the Steelers and the Bengals both lost that same week. So everything kind of was restored. That hope was restored. The offense is still in question. We'll get into that a little bit. But the defense was really legit. And thank goodness for that. So, Brittany, can you tell me your mood from Sunday?
So, after the game, you know, I'm at the point in life, especially, you know, we're a couple weeks from the new year. It's been a really long, like, 2 years. I think we can all agree on that. So the only thing I wanted was for the Browns to beat the Ravens. And they did.
Yes.
And it wasn't great. It wasn't pretty. The second half was kind of a nightmare. But they did it. And right now, I just like even the smallest of victories. So like a couple weeks ago, I was in like a real bad mood. It was like a Saturday and I just, I didn't even want to get out of bed. I'm just laying there. It's like 11 o'clock. I'm never in bed past like 7:30. And I put on Schitt's Creek and I'm just like, man, I don't want to get out of bed today. But you know what I did, Bree? Got up. I showered. I blew dry my hair.
Wow, on a Saturday.
Yeah, so it was a big deal. Like, and I texted Danny after that. I was like, I took a shower, I got out of bed. Like, this is a big deal
victory
today, because I just did not want to. You have those days.
Of course.
You know, especially like washing your hair. Let's talk about how big of a pain in the ass that is. Ugh, just by annoying itself. Yes. And then brushing through, like, I make it sound like these are like horrible chores. These are definitely first world problems.
I mean, maintenance. It's hygiene, right? I've talked about that before.
Yes. Maintenance. It's just a pain in the ass. And when you're already in bad mood, you're like, I don't do this. But I got up. I did it. And to me, that was a small victory. It set the tone for the rest of the day. So going into this Ravens game, you sort of understand that things aren't ideal. True, they were probably at their healthiest that they've been in a long time. So that was good going into it. But it's still the Ravens. The Ravens, you know, they still play hard every week. They still find ways to come back. It's unfortunate that Lamar got hurt. You know, just as a human being, I'm sorry this isn't a popular thing to say, but, like, you never want to see a guy go down.
Right.
So that was unfortunate. But they came out victorious. I was happy with this small victory. The playoff hope is still alive. Everything was fine. And you know what, Bree? We were planning on recording last night.
Yeah.
Imagine how much different that recording would have gone.
Honestly, I was thinking about that today, too. I was like, man, you know, we had messaged each other like, hey, do you guys want to record tonight? Do we want to do it on Tuesday? And so we all were like, you know what? Tuesday works better for all of us. And that just feels like fate. There are some things that just feel like fate.
Right. And now our Word doc is called Shambles. Yesterday, it probably would have been called Victory. And today, it's just called Shambles.
I know. I that's exactly what it feels like. So I want to back up for a minute because you're right. We won. The Browns won. It was great to see them knock off the Ravens, albeit without Lamar Jackson. Although one could say they might have performed better without Lamar. So like that was weird with how the game started with Lamar.
One could argue that. And actually, friend of the show, Pete Smith, tweeted something about that. And what did he say? It was something very clever. Very on brand for him.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's just Pete.
He said, that Lamar sometimes, like, you know, they depend on him so much that he does so much that, like, actually doing too much has kind of hurt the Ravens in the long run maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Which
kind
of makes sense if you think about it. Like, if you're expecting this one guy to be everything for an entire offense, you're expecting too much from him. And that's going to start, you know, hurting them in the long run. So I think that's sort of what we started to see with Lamar, because they were better once he got hurt. And you hate to say that. I don't want to say that, but it's kind of true. One could argue.
Yeah. And no one, I don't think anyone's saying that Tyler Huntley is the answer and Lamar needs to be benched and they need to move on for it. Like, no one's saying that. I just thought that the way Lamar started, I was not super impressed with him. He wasn't able to get things going. And honestly, he didn't play well against us 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's, hey, maybe hats off to our defense, too, and giving them credit, because obviously we've made some huge upgrades over last year, and there were players that were specifically picked to be able to defend a player like him. So, you know, all the credit to Lamar, but also a lot of credit to our defense. And Tyler Huntley played really well.
He did.
Like, I mean, he made some really good passes.
He did.
You were there. You were at the game. Right?
Yes.
In person?
I was.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was too. Do you remember the one play? It might have been in the third quarter where he like juked, like, they were just like bodies flying from the Browns. Like, they were just like whiffing. I was like, this is like watching that live instead of being on a TV screen. Like, the amount of guys that whiffed on him was embarrassing.
Just flying like missiles, human missiles all over the place.
It was like a bunch of Mac Wilsons and Sione Takitakis from like 2019 on the field all at the same time.
Can we talk about how disappointing it was that Mac was not a punter?
Listen,
that's all I wanted, Bree.
But also, he was going to be the long snapper too. I was thinking about that. I was like, wait a minute. If he's the long snapper and the punter, what does that mean?
Somebody said, because I was like, I want Mac to, please let Mac punt. And this guy tweeted me, he's like, well, he's going to be the long snapper. Who's going to be the long snapper? I was like, excuse me, have you ever watched Bugs Bunny? Like, Bugs Bunny does it all. Mac Wilson can do it all.
Mac Wilson is Bugs Bunny.
Exactly.
That is amazing. You're right. And he didn't play a snap, I don't think, on defense. But what a turn of events.
Shameful. You know, this is just, this is why, Bree, like, I'm just counting all the small victories at this point, because the season has not gone at all how I thought it would. If you really think about it week to week, I mean, we've been through a lot this season.
We have.
I mean, because I remember, like, at the beginning, we're like, oh, man, we're going to lose three games.
We're so
good. It's
going
to be awesome. And wow, it has not been that at all.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Does it feel like this season, 2021, should have been how 2020 would have went? It just feels like our years are reversed in Browns football.
For sure, because you would think that, you know, they had everything like the video last year and
yes,
the in-person stuff was very limited and there was a new head coach working with
new
this
offense.
Team. Like, everything was set up to be, you know, sort of a rough
disaster
year last season. And it wasn't. Like, they made it look so easy most of the time. So you go into this season, you're like, oh, well, they're going to have it all together. Like, they're coming off a successful season. The offense looks great. The defense has been upgraded. Like, let's get this on. And it has just
not been what we thought it was going to be.
That's a really good segue into the offense a little bit. Oof. That we want to talk about. And not to be a downer or negative at all. This is just factual. The offense and Baker remain in question. And this is even coming off of a bye week, which I think a lot of fans are probably a little bit naive if they thought that coming off of a bye meant that everything would be fixed in the offense. Like, it's not going to take 1 week off in the NFL to fix every single problem. And quite frankly, this offense might just need to be pieced together for the rest of this year. It may not be what we ever thought it would be this year, because we may just not have the parts and the pieces for what they want to do. No. So just to lay out some facts here, they scored 17 points in the first half, and then the offense did not score again. So I know the score obviously ended up being the 24-22, but there was 7 points that the defense put on the board.
Yeah.
That made this the fourth consecutive game where the offense scored less than 20 points, and the total tally is now up to 8.
This is, again,
mind-boggling.
There are so many things this year that just do not make sense. Their fourth quarter scoring, I think they have like 7 points in the past, I don't know how many weeks.
Yeah, I think did Hayden post that? It might be 8 points.
Like, what happened? How did this offense get so much worse since just last year? Because it's not like they're missing a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I know Baker's obviously been battling injury almost this entire season.
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry went out for a couple of games for injury, so he's not 100% healthy. You had both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt missing games multiple times. We had OBJ just poof and be gone from the team. No longer part of this process. I mean, there's been a lot of moving pieces in an offense that we thought was going to build upon last season's success.
Yeah.
And there's just been so many factors playing into it. I mean, I think the health of the offensive line has been in question at times. It's maybe all of those things combined have made it really difficult.
Yeah, because if you just take it like piece by piece, okay, so you say, well, you know, let's say Nick Chubb goes out, but you still have like Kareem Hunt or even Dearness Johnson who steps up when he needs to. Like, he had a really good game against Denver. So you have that, like, there's always enough to cover it so that it shouldn't be like that big of a deficit, but it is. Like, every time something goes wrong, like, you feel it so hard. And that just, like, last year you had, you know, COVID problems. It was just a weird season all around. But even, you know, people like Kadarius Hodge that could step in. And it was like they didn't miss a beat. Even last year, Dearness Johnson stepped in. And it was fine. Like, this is what I don't understand. All these things that were fine last year just seem so severe this year when they're not there.
Yeah, and maybe that it's our weaknesses that were on tape last year from an offensive standpoint where have been able to be exploited more. Because I remember thinking last year, like, we all felt like in the passing game specifically, which it feels like where we've struggled the most, we needed that like burner, that weapon that was going to be open, who was a threat downfield, blah, 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 blah. And I think we all thought that OBJ was the answer to that this year, coming back healthy. And obviously that did not come to fruition for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of question marks, especially given OBJ's performance last night in the Rams game, if that was really the offense and the scheme or if it was the actual player. So I don't know. I mean, I think it begs to be questioned if there's a lot more pieces that we need to add to this scheme and this offense to see what we think it should be. I mean, the run game, I'm not really worried about. I know that it struggled on Sunday, and as teams continue to stack the box against the Browns, it's probably going to continue to be not as explosive, but that's going to hurt them because that is really the bread and butter of what this offense was built to do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, another thing, one of my issues with like OBJ and, you know, even Jarvis to an extent is that I want to see Baker have taller receivers. And I don't mean to sound like a jerk about it. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, Jarvis and OBJ, they aren't talented. But, like, I think it would make a
like
lot
a big
of
body.
Yeah, it would make a difference, especially if Baker's Gordon. Not like super tall. He needs some length to it. I think that's why he's so historically better with tight ends than he is with these receivers. So hopefully that's something they can, whether it be in the draft or free agency or whatever they can do in the offseason to address that, because I do think that that's something that's not really talked about a lot, but like I think that it matters.
Yeah, like a DK Metcalf, that like kind of what he does for Seattle. And I know there was some controversy with that a couple weeks
ago. Like the tall boys.
Well, did you see our old friend Breshad Perriman scored a touchdown on Sunday to close out the Tampa Bay game against Buffalo? And then you had Josh Gordon scoring a touchdown, and then OBJ goes off. I mean, it was literally like the ghosts of Browns past.
We went out for a little bit after the Browns game. And we're with Buckeye Nick, who is a friend of the show.
Yes.
And he showed me the video of Josh Gordon catching it. And I was like, and I had a little tear in my eye. I was like, oh, my little Joshy. Also, you know what I'm going to start doing, Brie?
What?
Every time he does something, I'm going to start tweeting out, Josh Gordon wasn't the problem. I've decided.
Even though Josh Gordon was the problem.
But who's to say? Okay, who's to say? Am I going to judge? No. I feel like if people just want to continue to beat this OBJ drum, which I don't care about anymore. Like last night, it was everywhere. OBJ was not the problem. Oh, you know what? I'm going to start hitting you with the Josh Gordon wasn't the problem. How's that? How do you like that?
Listen, as a staunch OBJ supporter throughout this whole thing, I was really very happy to see him thrive at the Rams, but like, let's be real. He clearly didn't want to be on the Browns team. He wouldn't have. The whole thing wouldn't have happened the way that it happened. I'm sorry, but
he never wanted to be on the Browns.
No, and like, that's whatever.
He never wanted to be on the Browns. And you could argue that, like, okay, if I'm OBJ, I probably wouldn't be on the Browns either. Fine, like Cleveland is what it is. But like, so I'm not gonna like watch his career now and cheer for him the way that I do for Josh Gordon.
I will.
The I'll guy who had 10 chances with the Browns.
I know that we somehow just like, listen, we thought back in those days, we thought Josh Gordon was the answer to all of the Browns problems. If that tells you anything you need to know about where our mindset was.
Josh Gordon could have been like one of the best receivers of all time. I stand firmly on that hill.
I mean, based on talent alone.
Yeah, he was just a physical animal. Yeah. And he was
kind of like Myles Garrett.
Just so talented and, you know, tall boy. Hello.
Tall boy receiver with the hands, with the good hands.
Oh, tall boy with the good hands, my dream.
Danny with the good butt, tall boy with the good hands.
When he gets home, I'm going to call him tall boy with the good hands. He'd be like, are you
drunk?
Oh,
he's going to love that. Didn't he play football in college?
He did, yes. But you know what's funny? My hands. Okay, so like, you know the size of my hands.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
My fingers are actually longer than his. And he's like 6'2". He's a pretty tall guy. Like, he's a big boy. So his hand, like, we put our hands up next to each other. And the palm of his hand is, like, ginormous. But his fingers are, like, these little nubby things. And, like, he's like, God, I wish I had your fingers when I was in college. It's like, no, then you'd be rich. And you wouldn't want a loser like me.
I love it. I love the evaluation of the palm versus the fingers. Needs to be, instead of just hand size, I need a full breakdown during the combine of palm size versus finger length.
It's crazy. I'm going to send you a picture later of our hands next to each other.
Wait.
And you're going to be like, holy crap, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Because you put like my fingers on his palms, we have the biggest hands in the world.
If you have children, if that happens one day, your baby's going to come out with the size of like man hands. Can you imagine your little baby, your little newborn baby, and their hands are like the size of your face?
If we ever have a baby, it's just going to, well, it's going to be just a hand with a big butt and a big nose. Good Lord. Can you imagine?
No, that baby's going to be cute. Cute.
I don't know if I'll make it before the buzzer. We'll see about that. Oh, you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
This is a funny story. So I went to the game, obviously, and then we went out afterwards, and Danny had to do the post-game show. So by the time, like, he got done with that, and I was already in my apartment, but, like, you know, I had
I had partied probably a little too hard. So he gets home, and I was like, Danny, let's go to Taco Bell. And he's like, all right. So, you know, get in his car and stuff, and, you know, my memory gets a little foggy after that. So I wake up, like, he let me fall asleep on the couch, and then he woke me up at midnight, and, you know, at midnight, I was good to go. I was, like, fully sober, ready to go to bed, washed my face, did my skincare stuff. Everything's good. And he's like, do you remember, like, the car ride to Taco Bell? Or the car ride home from Taco Bell? And I was like, yeah, but, like, remind me what happened.
Remind me.
He's like, literally all you did was you wanted to lay down in the front seat, so I put your seat back. And you wanted me to give you football scores and feed you nachos.
For what reason?
Dude, you are describing an awesome person. Like, what are you complaining about?
What a catch. I love it. I love it so much.
That was my Sunday night.
That's amazing. So I want to get into the defense a little bit, because we talked about, like, when you talk about a freak athlete too, like Josh Gordon, Myles Garrett, obviously, okay, with his performance from Sunday, and Jadeveon Clowney, and honestly the entire unit, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I mean, like, you could just go on, but Myles Garrett, that play, the strip sack, fumble, scoop, and score.
Yes.
That might have been the most athletic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, a man that large just, like, gracefully picks up the ball like he's scooping up a baby and just, like, carries it into the end zone. I was like, I don't know how he just didn't, like, kick the ball. Like, it was just so effortless.
It was beautiful. It was so good.
And then, like, they showed him on the scoreboard, and I was legit in my seat. Like, I was teary-eyed. As if he was my son. I was like, please stop showing this man on the big screen. Like, the stadium was erupting. I was very emotional.
This is my giant son. Imagine that coming out of you. Holy God, his mom, his poor mother.
I feel like there was something about that, of how big he was when he was born. I don't know. I could be making that up.
No, they're probably like a 15-pound baby.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, no. No.
He might just be the defensive player of the year.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
With another player of the year. We'll get into that later. Woo. So the defense, you know, at the beginning of the season, we felt like it was a hot mess. People wanted to fire Joe Woods. I mean, you still kind of hear that even after the performance that they had, because, you know, the second half was frustrating. They let the Ravens, like, come back in the game, and then everything came down to an onside kick that was recovered.
Oh, God.
And, you know, sitting there, I'm thinking, holy crap, they have Justin Tucker on their team. This man could probably kick a field goal at their own 40-yard line and have a chance of it going in. Yes. I was terrified.
Yes, absolutely. Like, that's the one person in the NFL that you do not want kicking. That's it. Correct. Like, that was a nightmare scenario unfolding before us.
Oh my God. I mean, just the way that the air got sucked out of that building when they recovered was just like, oh no, it's happening.
And, like, how often do you see that happen? Like, really?
The Browns, all the time.
Touche.
It's like every stat that hasn't happened in, like, decades, it happens during a Browns game. That's, like, what we have to deal with.
It's stressful. They wonder why we drink too hard, so we can't remember things, and all we want to do is get fed nachos.
Right, and you have to just numb yourself. But yeah. Jadeveon Clowney made that sack on the second play of the series, and that was probably, I mean, he probably won the game at that point in time, because they obviously had so much ground to make up that you felt a little bit more comfortable that they couldn't just decide to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like him as a Cleveland Brown.
Oh, I mean, what a pickup he was. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think, just like as human beings,
Do you think the defense is kind of fed up with the offense?
I think there's a possibility, yes.
I mean, like, Miles' comments earlier in the week, when he alluded to, you know, they're not taking things as seriously. Not, like, the offense, but just, like, maybe the team isn't doing things the way that he would prefer them to be doing things, or they're not taking things as seriously. I forget what the exact quote was, but it was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And you look at, like, what happened today.
Yep.
With all of these cases, and you're like, where is this all coming from? And I'm not here to, like, you know, pump out rumors into the universe, but I do think it's kind of weird that most of this is happening to the offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big conspiracy girl.
Right.
And the streets are talking.
The streets? What are the streets saying?
The streets are saying that some of these players are out partying a lot.
See?
And it's not the defense.
I don't know if it's that big of a stretch, to be honest. I mean, I texted the group, our group chat earlier, and said, did the Browns thrive when things were shut down last year? Like, there was, like, the protocols, because there were no vaccines, were just much stricter, and there wasn't much to do last year, because that's how the entire country and state right. was, to be frank. And so, you know, it was going to make headlines if they were out or doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And now it's like, you know, vaccines are great. I think they work in a lot of cases, but it doesn't mean you can't get the disease. That's not how this works. It's not how vaccines work. They're not foolproof.
Right.
You can still catch a virus. It's going to help weaken the virus, but you can still get it. And so I think there might be a bit of maybe this false blanket of security that they feel if they are vaccinated, that they won't get it, or they can't get it, or they're protected. And, you know, it's still risky.
It is. And I saw today, so you know, OBJ, he tested positive.
So wild, right?
Yeah, he has COVID now. And I saw his quote from last year when he said something along the line, and I'm not even making fun of him, like, I genuinely feel like football players probably feel relatively similar to what he was talking about when he said, you know, I'm an athlete, like, you know, there's a mutual respect here between me and COVID, like, it doesn't want any part of me. And he might have been saying it in jest, but, like, I think there's at least a little bit of truth to what he was saying. He actually, like, believes this. And I do think that a lot of football players probably feel the same way. Like, I'm a professional athlete. I am built for anything. I take these monstrous hits all the time. Like, I can deal with COVID. So maybe they're not being as careful, especially now that the restrictions aren't there. Like, they can't. They are free to go out and do this stuff if they want to. But I do – it's – this is their livelihood, and it's starting to cost – and it's like, okay, at some point you got to look at what it's costing you and ask, is it worth it? Do I really want to keep doing it? Because you might be fine, but you're not helping your team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to get there, because we have to talk about something else first, because this was such a weird week already, and we're only at Tuesday. But, you know, we talked about it. The first thing that the Browns did was they won. And then what we did as fans was we fought. Of course, why not? We fought over booze. That was the whole discussion yesterday on Monday. Like, what a simpler time, Brittany, in hindsight. Like, I'd like to go back to Monday where we were fighting over booing.
I'd give anything to go back to fighting over whether or not it's okay to boo. Like, so much has happened in the past, I don't know, like, 5 hours. That, like, I would love to go back to yesterday.
Yes, Sunday is like a lifetime ago. We're way beyond the booing now. But we have to talk about it, because it was definitely an interesting concept. So first, the booing started after the first series on offense, which in my opinion is a little bit premature, people, to start booing your team. Not that I like booing in general. I understand the frustration and it just naturally comes out. But there was also allegedly chatter about booing happening when Lamar got injured and when he was being carted off the field. So I have to just preface this with, this is obviously a very, very bad look, if true. And I don't know if it was true, because I was in line to get chicken fingers when Lamar got injured. So I can't speak on what was happening at the stadium, because I was inside.
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I think I was probably in the bathroom or something when Lamar went down. Like, I don't remember that. I came back and, like, he was not the quarterback anymore. Because I remember asking, oh, it was a very tough time, Bree, because I found out that my one son hurt my other son.
Oh, so yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Imagine my heart breaking in the stands because that's what happened. I was like, oh. I mean, you know, obviously it's Jeremiah and he's my number one, but.
Oh, he better be.
Yeah, but I don't know the people. I did hear them boo after the first series. And I said out loud, what the hell is going on? Like, what is wrong with these people? And it's not like the whole stadium was booing. Like, there was not even a large number of boos, but it was loud enough that you could hear it. There was enough people doing it that you're like, all right, this is really childish.
Yeah.
But so I'm with you as far as, like, booing. The only time I'll boo... Well, actually, I will boo Danny when he makes bad jokes. That's one exception. And then also at Cavs games, they put stuff on the board so that you, boo while the opposite team is shooting.
Yes. Like, this,
that's encouraged there. So I will do it then. Those are my two exceptions. I would never boo my own team. Like, this is just... And I feel like a lot of people got the wrong impression when I said... I tweeted out something yesterday and... I'm obviously, like, I'm not a booing. I would never boo the Cleveland Browns. Like, this is it's a trash move. But I don't think there was enough people in there doing it that it deserved to be focused on the way that it was. Because I think, you know, somebody had tweeted me while I was out that day, and they're like, you know, do you think the Browns fans are bad now? Like, and I didn't even put two and two together. I was like, I mean, we're not any worse than we are, like, last week. Like, what do you mean?
It's just, we're always, we are.
Like, yeah, we're annoying, sure, and kind of harsh, but, like, I don't think we're bad. And then I eventually saw, like, the, you know, the Instagram stories and stuff, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, so Jed Wills was the talk of the evening on Sunday/into Monday, which went hand in hand with the booze. The whole thing was weird. So I think his like from a screenshot of an old tweet that then made its rounds on Instagram with some other people were that, like, imagine us showing up at regular people jobs and booing the grocery bagger.
God.
And I think this obviously rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. He also liked a tweet about hit people, of course, people in Cleveland are miserable because they live in Cleveland or something. So then that ruffled a lot of people's feathers. Interestingly enough, a lot of people that don't actually live in Cleveland were mad at that, more so than I think Cleveland people were, maybe. So that was interesting. And I want to get your opinion because I was like, I saw that this report came out, which, like, again, like, we're reporting on stuff that, like, why? I don't care. Like, the boos didn't really offend me. I wasn't one that was booing. I don't care. Like, I get the frustration. I also get the frustration from players that are playing, that are in a competitive profession, and they're on the field, and their emotions are obviously heightened. And yeah. I think it's fine for them to also not be happy about getting booed by a team, by a fandom that is supposed to support them.
I can't believe this conversation we're having.
I know, this is so stupid. And they're just told to suck it up because they're millionaires. And it's like, okay.
Listen, so where I stand on it is, like, number one, don't boo your own team. Like, it,
just don't tell me how to fan.
Just, I mean, don't boo your own team. Like, this is, I don't even know why I have to say these words.
Don't boo your grocery shopper or your retail worker or your waitress or your waiter. Just stop booing. Just be nice. People.
It's not a nice thing to do.
Boo Danny.
Unless your boyfriend makes a bad joke, then he deserves to get booed. But, or you're at the Cavs game and they put the Ravens on the board and, you know, you boo. But imagine paying, like, $100 to go sit in the cold on a December Sunday, and you're all
at
dressed in your Browns gear
at lunchtime,
and, like, then you just decide
they didn't do what I wanted, so I'm gonna boo them. I'll show them. Like, you're just, you make other fans embarrassed for you when you do stuff like that. And that may not mean much to you, fine, but just know that you're a grown-up and that and you're embarrassing to other grown-ups. So, number one.
Wait, can I pause there for a minute? Because you're exactly right. Like, the people that, like, their argument is, I paid X amount of dollars to go sit there and watch these guys play and they couldn't get a first down. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm sorry, did you also root for the team when they didn't win a football game the entire year? Like, it's
nice.
It's no different. I don't understand the logic. Like, okay, they didn't get a first down on the first series. Like, life goes on. There's literally 42 minutes left right. in the football game.
Like, it's not like this happened in the last series of the game. This was the first thing they did.
Yes.
And okay, it didn't go according to plan. But, like, do you as an adult human want to just sit there and throw a tantrum in the stands because of this? Like, this is like mortifying as a,
yes.
as a, like, that's embarrassing. But on the other hand, I don't care about, you know, Jedrick's likes, whatever. He doesn't want to play in Cleveland. I don't care about that. You're here. He's going to be here for a while. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not miserable living in Cleveland, so it doesn't offend me. The regular people thing did not sit well with me at all. Because that was something that he had saw at some point, obviously, and then
right.
searched for just so he could share it. And I understand he's young. And, right. you know, when you're however 22, 23 years old, you have a lot to learn about being considerate of others, knowing and understanding your surroundings. So I give him a little bit of a pass because of his age that maybe he just doesn't understand how that reads to people or how people are going to respond to it. I know to him it was probably, well, I'll show them and this is going to be good. But number one, it's not good to call people regular.
Yeah, it was condescending, that particular quote.
It was, yeah, the whole thing just, and, you know, say, well, I'm going to go boo you, as if people with these, quote, regular jobs, like, you know, anything in customer service, I can't tell, like, you know, when I was in college, I worked at Mark's, and I worked customer service desk, and, you know, the area that I was in, it was in Niles, so it's not like a very high income area. You get a lot of, you know, whoever. And the things that I had to deal with for like 7:35 an hour, I would not put on my worst enemy. So, like, you get sexually harassed, you get stalked, you get screamed at. I've been called every name in the book. And I'm not making a fraction of Jedrick Will's salary. Like, it's so insensitive to say something like that, especially in an area like Northeast Ohio. Just know your surroundings, dude. You can't say things like that. You shouldn't. And he'll learn. You know, I'm sure he learned after doing that.
I mean, he took away his like, I think. He realized, I think, that there was a lot of backlash. And I will say, like, I saw it and I was just kind of like, nah, whatever. Like, it was condescending in the tone. And I'm pretty sure whoever posted that, whenever that was posted, maybe in 2019, mm-hmm. Probably meant it, like, very lightheartedly and not in an offensive way, would be sure. my guess. Like, yeah. as a joke, like, haha, imagine if we went and booed people, like, just working everyday jobs. Like, because that actually would be kind of funny if
right.
professional athletes came to my job and booed me at my job. Like, I'd be like, oh, you guys are funny. But so I didn't really take offense to it. I was like, okay, people are getting mad about this. Whatever. I understand why people are getting mad. But I also understand, like, a professional athlete's side of things as well. Like, yes, understood they make millions of dollars playing this game and it's for entertainment. But they also have emotions and they're humans too. And they get upset about certain things. And mm-hmm. I think at times we just want to assume that because they make a ton of money, their feelings don't matter. Yeah. And it makes everything better, when I don't think that's the case. So that's all I was. And he took away his likes. This is so stupid. Like, I can't believe
it. It is so stupid.
He took away his likes. He did not write a formal apology. And, you know, I think there were some people saying, like, he went about it very immature. Yeah, I totally get that. Regardless of how he went about it, had he said it publicly, had he posted a video of him speaking it, it wouldn't have come across any better. And people would have reacted the exact same way. Right. So, you know, yes. I don't think there was really any good way of him doing it. So we can just skip that whole narrative of he shouldn't have done it this way. Well, yeah, you just need to say, like, he shouldn't say anything at all, which is fine. I'm sure his publicist or the Browns public relations department had a bit of cleaning up to do the next day, as we saw.
Right. And, like, it's done now. So these people, everyone could just, you know, get in their corners and calm down. But one thing I do want to mention before we close the chapter on this, you know, people were like, well, I totally, like, professional athletes, they're still people and they still have feelings. And, you know, that's very valid. And I get that. But people were like, well, you know, money doesn't matter. Bullshit, money doesn't matter. Because after that, I asked, I was like, okay, would you let me punch you in the face for $30? And the guy was like, no, like, maybe like $5,000 and we'll talk about it. I was like, oh, okay, so you agree then that you will expose yourself to a certain amount of pain as the price goes up. Like, money very clearly matters in this situation. Well, no, you're misunderstanding. No, that's what, like, the more money you have, and I'm not saying, like, you should be comfortable with taking, you know, more abuse from these, like, weirdos, especially online, like, you know, keyboard warriors and stuff.
Right.
But there is a level of, you're going to get more crap if you're an entertainer, if you're in any sort of entertainment business, which the NFL is, you're, you know, this is what you're paid to do, and you're paid handsomely. So you're going to get some backlash. Not saying that athletes, nobody deserves things. But I am saying that money matters in this situation. It does.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's kind of, and I'm going down a, I don't know if this is a conspiracy. I'm getting deep. Ooh. I do think this offense is frustrated as well. I think there have been some comments being made that have alluded to maybe not being super happy with how things are going. So I do think there's frustrations boiling over as well. And when you're playing a competitive sport and you're frustrated with your performance or collective performance as a unit, and then you pile on, like, fans tweeting at you constantly, and, like, you know they see this stuff. They get on the internet. Like, it's their pastime. Like, it's what we do. They hear media talking about it, you know, where they're falling short, all of these consecutive quarters without scoring a touchdown. You know, it's all of these stats and things piling up. And then it's like they come out there and they freaking whiff on the first drive. Then they get booed by their own fans in their own hometown against a freaking AFC North division. Like, I understand that just being like, God, like, just wanting to explode, you know? Yeah. Like, I do see that, like, coming to a head. And then, you know, this isn't the first instance where there have been frustrations from this team. I mean, OBJ's dad posted an entire YouTube clip about this. I mean, come on. Like, this, there are clearly things going on that we are not privy to as fans. So
you're absolutely right. One day I would like to know what's going on. Remember, what was it, like 2 or 3 years ago when I think it was ESPN, they published like that story about everything that went on with the Sashi and Hugh years, and you're just like, holy crap. I hope that one day we are privy to knowing what happened now.
Yes, I agree. I think there's a lot we don't know.
Yes.
So, I mean, just to add to the drama and the storylines, because half the offense gets COVID today. And you can't make this up because Jed Wills is one of them. So there was a report that came out earlier in the day from Kimberly Martin that key pieces of the offense were impacted. And I'd like to pause here for a moment because for the last month we've been hearing that the Browns don't actually have an offense from Bob Bunch of Numbers. And as soon as the news broke, Bob Bunch of Numbers melted down. Just to reiterate who is missing, it's half the offensive line. Wyatt Teller, Jedrick Wills, Drew Forbes. And I would like to point out that the Browns offense on Sunday played a significant amount of the game with an extra offensive lineman. All of our tight ends are still out. Hooper tested positive. Njoku is still out. No word on him yet. And Harrison Bryant is dealing with an injury, though it does seem like there's a likelihood those two players come back for Saturday. And then the wide receiving room is getting hit again. It's already pretty thin, but Jarvis Landry is on the COVID list. Anthony Schwartz is non-COVID but injury-related. And then JoJo Natson, who is a crucial special teams player, is now on the COVID reserve list. And then on defense, Tack McKinley, who had a monster game on Sunday. So, Brittany, what do we do now? As of Sunday, our playoff chances jumped to 45% after that win. And reports were saying that if the Browns win on Saturday and the Ravens lose, the Browns find themselves sitting atop of the AFC North division. Is there any possibility the Browns can win against the Raiders on Saturday?
I still think there's a very strong possibility that the Browns
Woo!
Win.
You tell me,
I
Brittany.
Do. I really do. I feel like, I know it sounds crazy, but the way this NFL season has gone, whatever I think is going to happen, the opposite will. So I'm just going to say, I feel really good about the Browns' chances on Saturday, because why not? Nothing matters. Nothing makes sense. Why not, you know, win to be number one? You know, the Ravens, they could lose on Sunday. Like, that could happen.
They play against the Packers. Absolutely.
There you go. So I'm saying, next week when we're talking, I think the Cleveland Browns will probably be first in the AFC North, which is wild
Woo!
Given the circumstances. But in my gut, I feel like it's going to happen.
If the Browns
I don't know why.
Saturday,
I just feel it.
They're winning the Super Bowl.
I won't go that far yet. But we can put it in the universe. You know, it never hurts to put things into the universe.
You know what I think? I'm kind of like with you. Everyone was like ho-hum and like, everyone, like, we were back on our bullshit, and then it was like all of a sudden, like, we're like, nope, and we're back down. We've forgotten the booing. Listen, let's not boo the team on Saturday. They're already decimated. There are people that are sick. Let's not boo them. Let's give them support. Let's clap.
Yeah, let's be nice to them. They're dealing with a lot. Okay.
Come on, people. I mean, imagine how fragile they are when our fan base is extremely fragile.
Like what I say at the beginning, small victories. Just showing up on Saturday is a small victory for this team. Let them do it.
Guys, here are two scenarios I think could happen that could end in a victory. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I need a drum roll. That was really
I'm
good.
Very good drum roll.
It was like a purr. The defense pitches a shutout.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
They're not going to let Derek Carr score. No one is scoring from the Raiders.
I mean, the defense is pretty healthy.
Yes, exactly. Hmm. So, I don't know if, like, it may not be fun to watch because our offense might not score. Someone has to score. We have to kick a field goal. I don't know. It could be 3-0 this game.
It'll end 3-0.
And it'll be glorious.
And we'll be like, yay, small victories.
Small victory. The offense
and everyone
still can't
will boo
score.
And the stadium will collapse onto itself.
We'll be booing every series, but we're going to score a field goal and win. Oh, my gosh.
I can't.
Okay, my second scenario is that Nick Chubb just runs over everyone. He
I like
have
both
a line,
of these scenarios.
So... I don't
what
know.
What if they happen simultaneously?
Well, if it's 3-0, Nick Chubb probably won't be running over everyone. Maybe he'll run over everyone on one series to get us in position for a field goal. How about that?
That's it. Small victory. That's all we need from you, Nick. Just get us there.
Just one series. 3-0.
What a time.
Oh man. So anyway, that kind of wraps up the Browns. I mean, do you have anything else to add about the Browns? I mean, what can we say? What else can we say?
Oh, Fartgate.
Yes. Okay. I need you to fill me in because in our group chat today, everyone just was ignoring me because all I wanted to see was a David Njoku video of him allegedly farting. Listen, and nobody could show it to me.
It is real. So what it was, I'm surprised you didn't see it. Do you follow him on Instagram?
I do, but I was in the office yesterday, and whenever I'm in the office, I'm really not on my phone that much, so.
Well, Bree, there's your first mistake, okay? How dare you be too busy working to not check what Dave Njoku is doing? This is what I do constantly all day long.
I need to get better at that.
Yeah, so he was getting his COVID test. So they were like, you pull up in your car. Okay. And then the doctor comes out and like swabs your nose. So he's sitting there getting his nose swabbed. And he's just like staring into the camera. And this is where it gets kind of fuzzy. This okay. is where you hear two different stories. It was either him farting or he had some sort of app or something in his like car that made a fart noise.
Excuse me, who has an app that makes a fart noise?
I don't know, but like if that is true, either way, it makes me love him either more. Like if he's farting or if he has an app to sound like he's farting, like these are all very endearing qualities to me.
Okay. I need some details.
He there's the fart noise and then the guy swabbing his nose like backs up. And and Dave's like, oh, sorry, man. Excuse me.
He said like, that?
Yes. And the guy was like, I thought that was your car. And Dave's like, no, it's me. And then he farts again.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. This really happened.
This was a story. He shared this story. It was up for like 24 hours, too, because I watched it. So I watched it when it first happened on like Monday morning. And then I watched it again like Monday night. And I made Danny watch it like three times.
How did this not make any type of news? Like, I get reports about the liking of booing. I didn't get this. This is the content I need. Like,
we need people on top of these things. I'd much rather hear about David Njoku farting than fans booing.
Right. Like where Browns by Brad with this report? This is what I needed to see.
Exactly. This is the stuff that needs to come to light. David Njoku farting.
I have to know, like, what kind of fart was it?
Oh, it was a loud fart.
Was it? Like, was it a like long and loud, or was it
yes.
short?
It was, like, interrupted, too. So there was, like, two farts.
And it was, like, as he was being swabbed? It was, like,
one really, really long fart, and then he apologized, and then farted again. And it was loud. It was loud enough where, like, it interrupted the video. You could hear it, like, over the music. It was amazing. It was an impressive fart, if real. Just, like, big, if true.
Fartgate. I'm fart just, like, laughing so hard because it's, like, I'm envisioning, like, the Q-tip going in. And it's just, like, the fart rips.
That's exactly what happened.
Like, was he
just
doing
just getting his nose swabbed. Like, they're showing the swabbing of the nose. And he's just staring into his phone. And then he just farts. Just rips one.
And he shares. I am so disappointed. I'm so disappointed I did not see this.
I should have sent it to you, but I'm not good at sending stories. Like, I don't know how to do that.
I know, it is weird. It, like, you have to, like, send it via Instagram DM. It's like a whole thing. I don't play. It's not your fault. We missed out. Okay.
I promise if he ever farts again, I will send it. You will be the first person I send it
I'm
to.
I'm going to have to put him as, like, my favorite so I see his stories.
Yeah, do it. He's always, like, number one on my story. Well, obviously.
him and Jeremiah and Colin
anything David
Colin
does
Sexton.
That I do not see.
Oh, okay. Fartgate. So, yeah. Apparently, Brittany, you were one of the only people on Twitter, too, that saw it. So, consider yourself blessed.
I'm disappointed. There's a wholesome story out there and everyone just, you know, skipped right past it to argue with each other about booze and regular people. Like, you missed a gem in this fart and just supposed to just, okay, move on with life. No.
Just move on. No. Wonder if that test was positive or negative.
That would have been a nice update.
Right.
Like, why didn't you... Why didn't you give us that?
Just give us a hint. I don't know. Maybe the fart was the hint. Oh, we need to like decode his farts now. Morse fart codes. Oh, man. Okay.
I'm
gonna
spit out my coffee.
We like to code body language. Now we're going to be decoding farts. Okay. Moving on, Britt, we're going to get into the Cavs state of affairs because, like we said, a tale of two sports teams, same city. Well, the Cavs are 29 games into an 82-game season and currently sitting fourth in the Eastern Conference with a lot of season left. Let me start here. Brittany, did you have the Cavs as being the fun sports team in Cleveland and the one that would leave us feeling completely fulfilled and gratified as we watch them?
Did anyone think that that was going to happen this year?
No! No!
Like, can I just, like, go into a little mini rant for a second? This won't take long. But I've been thinking a lot lately, because I get a lot of tweets about Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
Especially now. And, like, I've been noticeably quiet about him, like, all season. And even before he was hurt, I was still, like, noticeably quiet. Just because, number one, at that point, I couldn't watch them. I now finally can. Somebody was nice enough to give me, like, information so I could watch the Cavs, which is great.
Same.
But I feel kind of cheated because, you know, since 2018, when LeBron left and they drafted Colin Sexton, I have been trying so hard to get people on board with this team and, like, try to make them fun and sell Colin Sexton as someone that needs to be cheered for and watched. And for years, I've been trying to do this. And then he goes down, he's out for the year, and then all of a sudden, the Cavs are phenomenal. And I'm just like, you know, it doesn't seem fair. I'm very happy. Don't get me wrong. I love the Cavs are so much fun to watch. I've been to, you know, a handful of games. I'm going again tomorrow night. Like, I love it. I love that they are fun. And I love Darius Garland. I love Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Isaac Okoro. Like, I love these guys. But, like, I feel like the universe just sort of let me down in that I was fighting this fight for so long alone, and then the person that I loved the most went down, and now they're fun to watch. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. I actually felt that way a little bit with OBJ last year, because when he went down, then, like, the Browns went on this big run, and then, like, the entire narrative gets shifted to, you know,
yes,
Browns are better without OBJ, and, like, that whole battle. So I understand where you're coming from, because
that is true. That is true.
Yeah, the Cavs are, they're really fun, and it's almost like you forget that Colin was even part of this team, which is, like, odd to say considering he was part of the rebuild.
Yeah, and it's really hard when, you know, now people are convinced that he should just be traded. And I'm not even here to, I will not even get into that part of it because it's pointless. Like, let the guy heal up. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably nothing more that Colin Sexton would give to be out there and helping his team. So I feel bad for him that he can't. And I'm sure it's hard on him mentally to see them. I gotta be careful when I say that, but, like, you know, being so successful in his absence. Like,
yeah,
he's a competitor. Yeah. He's an athlete. This is his team. He loves it. Like, he wants to be out there. So, you know, they're better without Colin Sexton. I'm not even saying that's true or false or anything. I just feel bad that he's not a part of it.
I just hate that whole narrative, though, to begin with, because I don't think, like, if Colin Sexton were healthy and playing right now, I don't think the Cavs would be worse. I still think they would be performing.
Yeah, like, imagine if he was, like, coming off the bench, which I think would, I'm totally open to that possibility now. Just, you know, if he's not a starter, cool. Imagine him coming off the bench. Like, he, for the past couple years, he has been your leading scorer. Like, he's your best scorer on the team. Imagine having his, you know, 22, 24, 26 points a game. Like, that helps.
Yeah, so I think he would.
I don't think the Cavs would be better without him. I just think maybe his role needs to be reevaluated.
I think that's totally fine. I don't understand people that push to trade talent. I never understood that with OBJ either. It was like constantly like, let's trade him, let's trade him, let's trade him. But you know you're saying, like, let's trade someone who has talent that could actually help a team.
Right.
Just because you think that a team doesn't need that person. Like, it just, it doesn't make sense to me. Because typically someone that has that type of talent just needs to be in a role and utilized in a way that makes sense for the team.
Yes. So if you can do that, if, you know, he comes back next season, he's healthy, he's ready to go. Assuming that he's still there and they haven't, like, traded him, which I don't even know. Like, that's a possibility. I get that. I fully understand that that could very well happen. But say it doesn't. It's just time to explore what this guy's role is on the team and say, okay, you're a good scorer. How can we fit that to maximize our potential? And it can be done. It's not, like, you know, beyond the realm of possibility to find a position that makes sense for him and for the team. Like, this is all doable stuff. So I'm not saying, I'm not giving up on him. Of course, I would never.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Brittany, because, like, what's happening with the Cavs right now? First of all, they were not on anyone's radar at all. And they're obviously playing very, very well. I mean, they are 17-12, and they are 8 of 10. They've won 8 of 10 of their last games. So, yes. Like, they're building these wins, and, like, the wins aren't just, like, by a couple of points. They are dominating teams.
They are hurting feelings.
I love it.
Like, my favorite thing, and they do it pretty often, is they come out so hot out the gate and they just blow these teams out of the water. So then,
yeah.
And I told, we were at the game the other night and they did it. And I'm like, this is me at work from, like, the hours of 8 to 10:30. I go into the office and I kill it for those 2.5 hours. Then I could just, you know, take it easy the rest of the day.
Also, like, but the for Browns, those 2.5 hours,
I cannot be stopped. And I feel like that's what the Cavs do. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, they're balanced too.
Yes.
Which is great to see. So for people that don't know this, they have remained as one of the top 5 defensive teams. And I saw this fun fact today from Terry Pluto. He posted a really nice write-up about the Cavs and Kevin Love, and we're going to get into him in a minute. But they are also the only team in the NBA to have a 20-point scorer and then 4 different players scoring in double digits each game. So when you talk about balance, like, I think that's – when you were talking about Colin Sexton, you know, a couple years ago, where it was different was you didn't have that. There was no balance at all.
No.
Like, it was either Colin was scoring all the points or no one was scoring at all.
No, it was bad. Like, the defense has been terrible for the past couple years.
Yeah, and that has just completely flipped around. And it's the bigs. It's the slender men that we've been talking about.
Who saw this coming? Because before, like, we were making fun of, well, not making fun of it, but we were kind of poking fun of it last year because we're like, you know, the NBA, they're going in, like, the small direction. And
yes.
A lot of shooters, blah, blah, blah. And then the Cavs were like, no, we're going to fill our team with giant people. And, like, look at them. Look at them.
I love it. And
they're doing it.
A guy we have to talk about is Kevin Love. Kevin Love. The Kevin Love resurgence.
How about it? Now he's, like, I saw people saying today, he's untradeable now. Like, for completely different, like, he's been untradeable, but now he's, like, you can't trade the guy. Like, this is the best version of Kevin Love that we've seen in years.
Yeah, since when? Like, 2016? When they won the title?
Yes.
Like, this is the Kevin Love. I mean, he's having fun, and he's productive. He's come back from the dead. He was a crypt. He was half buried.
Yes.
He's alive.
Now look.
He's averaging 14 points off the bench, and he's shooting 53% from three. He scored 23 points in the second half against the Heat for the win on Monday night. And
it's
say this, Jared Allen, when I read this quote from the post game, I was laughing so hard. Jared Allen said he threw his cane to the side and went out and bowled. That made me laugh so hard because Kevin Love's always had back issues, so, like, I could totally see him using a cane.
Yes, that's so good.
And I mean,
it's
Brittany,
funny
the other
how
thing...
like I could hear you smiling as you talk about the Cavs, as you can hear me smiling when I talk about the Cavs. Like, it's so nice.
Okay, and I tweeted this like a week or so ago. When I watch the Cavs, regardless on if they win or lose, it's still fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch. Like, they still are in it. If they're down by double digits, they're still not out. They will grind their way back into a game and compete, which is just, like, it's amazing that you don't have to give up on them because they're not giving up on themselves. And based on how they are built, it feels like they have a chance to win every game. And I made a comparison to how it's just felt so different this year in Browns games where, like, some of the wins have not been fun. I mean, like, you still, like, we're still, like, picking apart and unsatisfied and, you know, not feeling the best when we go back and look at things. And, you know, people were, like, yelling at me for, like, why are you even comparing the two? I'm like, I'm not complaining about it. It's just how I personally feel when I watch both teams. I just have a very different feeling to watching these teams play. It's very, very different and unexpected, quite frankly.
Yes, I did not see this playing out the way it has. But I'm happy. I'm happy that the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing well. It's been a lot of fun.
Do you think that we have any fight against Bally and Big Cable?
Oh yeah, screw them. Like, I'm still mad at them. Let's not.
Do you think we can start a revolution to be able to, like, if you're Dan Gilbert, do you not try to, I don't know what he can do. He has a lot of money. Can he do something with trying to?
I mean, rich people can do anything.
Right. Like, with the way the Brown season's going and, like, you know, the displeasure, like, he has the ability and opportunity to capture a bunch of people that are interested in watching the Cavs and, like, even a younger generation and fan base because they are really fun to watch.
Right. If you just, like, charge, like, $3 a month to these people, like, hey, sign up for a bet. Like, so you don't have to jump through all these hoops just to watch this basketball team. Just say, hey, you can have this app for $3 a month. Boom. Daniel makes more money. Like, everything's great.
I was going to say, don't you think they'd be making more money? Because now people are just finding ways to watch it illegally.
Yeah, which is what we're all doing.
Right,
and,
exactly.
Like, they could be taking my... I would pay, like, $5 a month to do this. But they're wasting opportunities here because, I don't know, billionaires are fighting with millionaires. And now we're all losing. And, like, this is sort of off topic, but not really. Because we were talking about rich people and how they could do... Like, yeah, Dan Gilbert could do this. You know what I watched Saturday morning, Bree?
Yeah.
I watched Michael Strahan blast into space for no reason, just because. And I'm like, you know, I can, like, I have to watch, you know, grocery shopping. And Michael Strahan could just blast himself into the edge of space on a Saturday morning, casually, with a few of his friends, and I'm watching it on TV. Like, why am I even watching this?
I had no idea that happened.
I'm mad watching people do this.
No idea.
So yeah, don't tell me Dan Gilbert can't fix this Bally thing, because he could.
Yeah, I would be. I really hope that's a Christmas gift they give to all of us.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
I mean, like, I'm not trying to be negative again about the Browns, but, like, there's a possibility their season's over in January.
True.
You know, like, early January. And then what do you have? You have the NBA.
Let's get it done. We can start a revolution. Let's do it.
We should. We need a hashtag.
I wouldn't bet against us, Brie.
I wouldn't either. We're coming for you, Mally.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Heard it here first. And the last thing, to just close out the Cavs, Evan Mobley, obviously the rookie. I think at this point in time, I mean, he definitely seems to be the favorite of winning Rookie of the Year. And I thought that this would be really fun if this does end up playing out at the end of the year and Myles Garrett wins Defensive Player of the Year. How fun would that be to have two star players in Cleveland winning these types of awards?
That would be sweet.
Love to see
it. That makes me smile just thinking about it.
Right?
Yes.
I saw you tweeted a lot of Cavs members were in appearance at the Browns games.
Taco Fall was there.
Yeah, where were they?
They were up in a suite. So it was like, it was Taco Fall, I think Jared Allen. I don't know if Darius was there. There were probably like five or six of them up there. They showed him on the Jumbotron, and I was so focused on Taco Fall that, like, I barely looked at anyone else.
When you had tweeted that, I was like, I really hope they're in a suite because nobody would be able to see over any of them in like a regular suite.
Imagine imagine
even sitting
paying, like, yeah, you're paying $100 and then Taco Fall sits in front of you and like, son of a bitch, damn it, Taco.
I mean, when's the last time like the Cavs have been to a Browns game? I mean, I think, did Colin go before, like, in the last couple of years? Obviously not last year because of COVID, so, but like, the Browns haven't been good.
No. Oh, so a couple years ago, like, J.R. Smith was in a suite with maybe Chetty or something.
That was the year they won the champion. What, weren't the Browns, like, that was the year they went 1-0? Because I swear, I remember J.R., I think, was shirtless still.
He was, yes. But I think that was when LeBron was already gone. Like, I think it was 2018 or 19.
Was Channing there too? Channing and Richard,
I believe,
maybe?
So, yeah.
Okay, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I love seeing that, like, especially with, like, the young guys that are the future of Cleveland.
Yes.
You know, you see a lot of Browns players go to the Cavs games now, too. Like, Newsom is always there.
Yes.
Watching them and, like, supporting them, even if he's not there in person. Like, I just, like, love that they're all kind of rallying with each other and the city and rooting each other on. Like, that just warms my heart.
It does. We love when our kids get along.
That's right. That's right. I have to tell you this story. So my husband and I went to the game on Sunday together, and, you know, my parents offered to watch the kids for us, which was really nice, you know, to let us go enjoy the game by ourselves. And I got to out my mother because, and she listens to the podcast, so she'll hear this, and I hope she laughs about it. But, you know, she like took them to the store, and they picked out like some Christmas activities to do while the game was on, you know, to keep them entertained and whatnot. And it was like making some Christmas ornaments and crafts and all of this stuff. So, you know, the game ends, and obviously in the fashion that it did with the onside kick and blah, 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 blah. And so I texted her that we were on our way home, and she goes, I was so upset about the onside kick that I just packed the kids up and we left and we went back to my house. I left your house a disaster. I didn't even want to see the end of that game. And I was like, okay. You know, she goes, so I like pick up the kids at her house, and she goes, I have no idea how I left your house. And I was like, okay. And so then she proceeds to tell me, she goes, I was doing really good in the first half. You know, like, they were entertaining themselves. Like, I knew what was going on. She goes, when the second half hit and the Ravens started to come back, she's like, there was a moment in time that glue was released and I wasn't paying attention. And there was this, like, there was a line of glue from like the table to the entryway. She was like, so then I spent like the third quarter scrubbing that up. And I was like, oh God. Okay. So,
oh my gosh.
So, you know, I get home and I do see like a table full of just like boxes and crafts and like stuff everywhere. And so I was like, you know, whatever, I'll deal with this mess tomorrow. I don't feel like doing this on a Sunday night. So I get home from work on Monday and I like look at the mess. I'm like, okay, I better tackle this whatever's over here. Mother, I haven't even talked to her about this yet. The ornaments involved loose glitter. There was red and gold and green glitter literally all over my table. There were like spots of glue with glitter on it. There was glitter all over the floor.
That's going to be there till like next year.
Brittany, I'm not even lying to you when I tell you that this table is like wood grain. So the glitter is like in between the wood and cracks that I cannot get to. There is a sprinkling of glitter dust all over my floors that I cannot get to.
Oh my God.
So I have not confronted my mom yet about this. She may be hearing this for the first time on this podcast. She's probably laughing her ass off because the Browns left her in such a state of distress that there was literally glitter everywhere in my house.
What a queen. She's my favorite.
Oh my gosh. She was so funny when the Steelers game was on Thursday night and Ben Roethlisberger was just getting demolished. She texted me at like 11:30 and she goes, I need Brittany to do that meme of E.T. again in regards to Ben Roethlisberger. I was like, I'll text her, Mom.
I love her so much.
Oh, so that ends my... I don't know. The booing in comparison to the glitter. I wish glitter, loose glitter. Parents that have kids, like, they know this. Glitter is like the worst thing in the world.
Oh yeah. So it never goes. You never really get rid of it.
No. I took all of that and I just threw it all. And I was like, we're not ever opening this ornament maker ever again. Sorry, Mom.
That
but
is
thank
amazing.
You for entertaining them. Kind of.
Yes. Love it.
Oh, well, Brittany, that'll wrap us up for this evening. Saturday is going to be interesting. Saturday.
Yes. Will you be there?
No, we are going to Michigan to celebrate Christmas with my in-laws. So I will be watching it live from Detroit with my in-laws, who are going to think I'm crazy because I'm going to be yelling and swearing. So that'll be fun.
Oh, I love it. Are you going? I will be there, yes.
That's going to be a fun game, hopefully. And, you know, it's a good time.
It should be. I'm going with Jenna, so we always have a good time.
Good.
It'll be fun.
Well, you know, make sure Jenna doesn't boo either. I know she has a tendency to...
You know, can Jenna really be controlled? I don't know. Who's to say?
Jenna's a wild card. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening. Glad we're back. We'll hopefully talk to you guys next week. And hopefully we're talking about happier things. No more COVID.
Browns in first place.
That's right.
You heard it here first.
Manifest it.
Yeah.
Download us, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Send us a rating and review. Shout us out on Twitter. We love to hear from you. And you guys have a great week.